Bill Moseley.
Danielle Harris.
Dick Warlock.
George Romero.
Kane Hodder.
Robert England.
Ronnie Blakely.
C.J. Graham.
And you're listening to
Deep Horror Texas.
10 years ago, on the night of October 31st, a small Midwestern town fell victim to an escaped killer. Under the cover of darkness, he carried out the most horrifying mass murder on record. 16 people in cold blood. Ever since that night, no one has forgotten his name. And Halloween has never been the same.
Hello again, and welcome to another episode of Deep in the Horror of Texas. This is Jeff.
I'm Nathan.
And this is Ralph.
We are here to continue our ongoing Halloween series with Halloween 4, The Curse of the Werewolf.
Return of the Werewolf.
Okay, Return of the Werewolf.
Oh, wait a second. Werewolf? What the fuck? Hold on, wait.
We're expanding off Halloween 3.
Oh, my newts are off.
Shit, I thought this was Dracula.
Oh, Halloween 4, The Return of the Werewolf. Of Michael Myers.
Are you sure?
This?
What?
No?
No? Maybe?
It's a return.
Yeah, because we did Season of the Witch, and then...
Next is Revenge.
Man, I could have swore this was final chapter.
Wait.
Oh. Yeah.
No, wait. 10 years ago...
Oh, no. I'm thinking Jason. My bad.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Full circle here.
Full circle. There we go.
I had to work it out. I know. I got lost there. I was like, okay, the notes say... Yeah, release date, October 21st, 1988, with a runtime of 88 minutes. Yeah, this is it. This is Halloween 4, Curse of Michael Myers.
Well, damn.
Return.
are you sure still?
God damn it.
Man, you see how much love that we have for this.
Yeah, it just gets a little long in the tooth.
This is the 10-year reunion.
Long in the tooth.
Or reunion? Anniversary. Anniversary.
Annuals? Annuals? Annuals?
Annual.
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 And that's not just the name of a producer for this film.
That's not a Russian porn site either. Annual.
Annual. Oh, man. And if you're curious, check. Get it?
What was that website, Ralph?
What website? I cracked open Nate's head and I'm just reading it all off of his notes.
The site you just told us about.
IMDb?
IMDb. I guess that's a one way to find it.
Yeah. IMDb. that's where you go for everything, is IMDb.
IMDb.
You get everything there.
Sometimes. IMDb. It's fun to look at the
IMDb.
Hey.
They have everything you need to sound like you know stuff.
I never go to IMDb.
You don't go to IMDb?
That's why I always sound like an idiot.
Well, we sound like educated idiots whenever we
Correct.
Read off of IMDb.
Google says.
Well, Wikipedia says.
I don't, yeah, no.
No.
No? No, you sure?
Yeah, no.
Oh.
IMDb, that is horrible. That sounds too much like enema. I don't need a thorough cleaning.
Yeah.
I feel it in the back of my throat.
Like
what are we doing here?
No. It's going to be a rough start for me. All right, because after coming off of Halloween 2, we are supposed to indulge in this glorious idea of, Michael's just been kept hidden away, tucked away in a basement.
A very Pentagon-ish basement. I mean, they go like 5-6 floors down.
With this.
It's like... 60 feet underground.
The leaking steam line.
The bunker.
This is where we keep all the bad ones.
I guess. What's with that guy? That guy remind me of the cab driver from Scrooged.
Oh, yeah, totally did.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know, because like, that guy is really like one of those actors. When you see him, you just recognize him from like so many goddamn
projects. I think his name's Buster something.
Buster Keaton Douglas.
What? Really?
No.
Wow.
Michael Davis Holland.
Really?
No.
Damn it.
What the fuck?
What is his name, dude?
I know.
Your IMDb is failing.
His name is Raymond O'Connor. He plays a security guard. and he gives those little trinkets of, you know, hell has, no, God has nothing to do with here.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus doesn't have anything to do down here. It's just like these random little lines that are just.
This one gives me the heebie-jeebies. 10 years ago, tried to murder his sister and a couple other friends. Exposition.
He sent it up. And what it was it Captain Exposition?
Except nobody tells how Michael fucking lived.
No.
How did he survive that? Last time we saw him, he's burning to a crisp.
And Loomis is the same kind of situation. You're like, shouldn't he have like a, I don't know, like a vase of ashes or something? Like,
yeah, when he says like, oh, the doctor almost died in the fire too, I was just like, almost?
What?
He fucking let go of ether and lit a match. Like, gone. Ever seen a meth lab explode?
Fucking Michael's like, gone. That motherfucker cooks through the credits. Like,
for real. Sandman's like, playing. We're in the second course. And he's still fire. Fucking burning.
The security guard was Dino in My Blue Heaven. He did a little shot in
he
that.
He honestly looks like the cab driver from Scrooge and Meatloaf had a kid. That's what it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right?
Pretty much.
Okay.
There you
close
go.
Enough.
All right.
He's awesome.
You're awesome.
He's a fun guy. And he just has a little bit cameo at the beginning of this film.
And that is the last one.
What I want to know is, like, what the fuck is Michael Pataki doing in this fucking film?
Oh, yeah?
Rocky IV, fucking Remo Williams.
Oh, yeah.
He's the caregiver for Michael that has him sign the slips.
Yeah, yeah.
What is he doing in this movie? Like, he's been acting for like 50 fucking years.
He just does like this little bit role. I don't know.
He's like, spare me, Loomis. I've heard it for a lifetime. Like, oh my God. Why are you here? You're actually a good actor.
I needed the money.
I guess.
I don't know. I mean, I know I'm going off on a rant here, but catching this in VHS days, this was a golden one to fucking stumble upon, because second to maybe the 78 one, this is my favorite of the Halloween series. Halloween 4 is a great standalone Michael Myers story.
Reveal them cards.
Oh, dude. This was the strongest one, I think, because, I mean, this one had a great relationship between the Jamie's character and her foster sister and Rachel, and it's just the everything stacks up in such a great way in this film that I'm actually kind of happy to talk about this one.
Yeah, me too.
When was the first time you saw this? VHS days?
Oh, God, yeah. VHS days. I think this was like 9.
Gotcha.
8 or 9 when I bought it.
Oh, shit, Hastings. Right?
Yeah, I love this movie back in the... Like I said, I had like a severe crush on Danielle Harris. That sounds weird now, but guess what? She's 2 years older than me, fuckhead. So rewind it. Rewind the clock. So I went out, and I can't remember if I had my brother buy it, or I just like went to a cashier that kind of knew my family and was like, hey, and they were like, oh, okay, just next.
And what throws me off is that for this film being a 1988 film, it doesn't feel like 88. It feels like it holds a lot. I don't know. For some
it feels
reason,
earlier.
It feels
like 84, 83.
No, I was going to say it feels closer to like a 90s film. It doesn't feel as dated the way I would expect an 88 film to kind of feel. But I guess you're so close to the 90s, this thing was really on the cusp of being something that's, I don't know, really solid. Because it has a great...
I'll tell you what, this has like the best opening of any Halloween. I love the
only reason...
The look of it, because you've got this setting sunlight with overcast clouds that's emitting this purple, and yeah, you can see the sunlight in the background, and it's kind of an orange, and you get the grass stalks and farm shit and it, like, you know, pumpkins and shit like that. It's perfect to set the mood for Halloween. You get those bright orange letters, you know, cast letters, whatever the fuck,
gotcha,
credits. It's just gorgeous to me, and I love Alan Howarth doing that simple drone overtone.
This is one of his better scores.
Yeah.
Because as we get further along, and if you take a step back, you go to Season of the Witch, and you take a step forward to The Curse of Michael Myers, you find that Curse gets a little immature. It feels immature. And 4 feels like the most mature take on Michael Myers you've had since the 78 version. Which is weird to say, because 2's just so lost in the fucking hospital. It doesn't really feel like a stand-up great film, in my opinion. And then 3 was being a standalone Season of the Witch gimmick. When you get to this, this really had everything we were wanting to come back home to. It had a really good, like Nate was saying, the town's back, the settings there, the character development is very reminiscent of the 78, but it also takes a good step in the right direction of being like, you know what, we're going to set up some things and we're going to have some serious fun with it. Everything you're expecting not to go wrong is going to go wrong, and everything you're expecting to happen is going to happen, very vice versa. And it's awesome that they played with all the dynamics that you don't see a lot of horror troops or tropes do until like maybe later when you would get to like maybe Wes Craven's Scream and stuff like that.
When you see this shit, Ralph, he's taking a big drink.
September 23rd, 2014. That's when I saw it.
2014?
Yep.
Wow.
How the fuck did you come up with that date?
Because that was the day that the box set got released.
Oh, nice.
Ah.
That's the day it got released on Blu-ray.
Well, speaking of the box set, I think it's kind of funny that Anchor Bay and Scream Factory announced that a good percentage of the early production pre-orders for this box set. Halloween 4 has this, it's like mid-audio. It's like 45 to 58 minutes
mm-hmm.
where the sync is off. The audio and the video sync is off. They asked people to send the ones that had the problems back in. They'll issue them a new disc. But I have the screwy version, and I kind of like the novelty of, hey, they fucked up. Like it's like a misprint comic. You just keep it, you know?
Yeah, you really do. Like,
that's awesome.
Because you know it's going to be worth something later, or at least hopefully.
Oh, that's funny. That was part 4. They had the fuck up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like,
out of all of them.
Yeah, I was like, why couldn't it be 5? Like, fuck 5.
Like, run zombies.
Oh, yeah,
that'd be nice. Great.
Yeah. It's a blank disc. This is terrific.
I love this coaster.
It's just the fucking the title card playing over and over
this is
and
the
over.
The menu.
This is amazing.
It's great.
It's awesome.
So you watched, I always forget where you made it all the way to. You haven't seen 5 or you have? At the
Tower
Tizatina.
Got past that part.
Tizatina.
It was whenever they killed her off.
Oh.
When they killed Daniel Harris's character off.
Oh, that's 6.
Yeah, so I think 6 is where I ended, because after that, after 6, it's what?
H2O.
Yeah, H2O I didn't make it to. That's where I stopped.
You'll love H2O.
Yeah.
It's a good film.
Because, like, whenever I bought it, I was telling Nate, I was like, hey, I'm watching it now. And I'm like taking pictures every time it shows up.
I was proud of my boy.
And he's like, yeah, keep going, keep going. I was like, all right. Got to 6. And he's like,
I quit getting text messages.
Got to 6. Like, he got the title card for 6. And he's like, yeah. And he never got anything else after that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you got to watch both versions. And I imagine Ralph on the other line looking and reading that and being like, fuck it.
Like, I'm done.
I'm not going to lie. I don't even think I finished 6.
You said the box that came out in 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't seen the producer's cut until like earlier today.
Like ever?
I watched the old work print of it, and it was just...
Oh, yeah, the static
VHS. I didn't give a shit.
It's weird. When we get to that, one is either more Pleasance or one is more Michael Myers.
I like the producer's cut.
Pick your poison. Right. We'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
But yeah, now 4, it wasn't until like after the box set came out was whenever I actually got to sit down and watch them. Because that's where I actually watched almost all the movies up until H2O.
Gotcha.
So pretty much my answer is going to be the same for the next few episodes.
Right. I hear you.
I might change the date a little bit just to have multiple choice, but.
No, stay real, because that's like. That's when it was interesting, 2014.
Yep. Yep.
It's like, oh my God, all these companies came together to give us a shitty collaboration.
The only reason we're digging it now is because there's going to be a 2018 one coming out soon. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. So the box set, like, dude, that's why I just quit with Star Wars. I was just like, okay, I'm going to wait until it's completely dead, and then I'll go on back and buy everything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've got the special edition VHS. I've got the fucking dip dip blue. I've got the dee-dee-dee. And then I got the Blu-ray set where George Lucas fucked with everything. Then I got the DVD set of the originals, like, not touched. And now it's like, thank you, Force Awakens and Last Jedi.
I would fucking kill for the ones that George Lucas didn't fuck with.
They're actually
because one of my friends, he owns the VHS copies of those of like the before they got all fucked. fixed up and all that stuff, where shit was just like the speeders that were flying around, they were just like little orange smudges under there, yeah. You know, cover up the fucking wheels.
I still got my VHS awesome. Set. It's still wrapped in plastic. Like I have a set that's just, I've never Holy opened shit. It. But then I got these really good rips of the old school Laserdiscs. Mm-hmm. So I was like, fuck, dude, when you steal Laserdisc versions, it's like, all right, they're letterboxed and they're not fucked with. They're really great.
The original Saga release on DVD, right before, God, I don't want to say the advent of Blu-ray, but it was like right when Blu-ray was like, oh, $35, I'm not redoing my library again. And now, you know, you can't barely ever find a DVD, but it was like all six movies. One of them was the special editions where George Lucas fixed everything, and the other discs were the originals.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, like, and I lost that, of course, you know, in the move. Fucking Texas.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Someone in fucking, you know, goddamn the panhandle's welcome, because that's where I lost it.
Well, that's where you fucked up. It was in the panhandle.
It's the only place I like fucking opened my door.
they're shimming at their toilet with them right now to this day.
Yeah, they are. They're probably like snorting lines off of it. What's the middle fucking, the top of Texas with Oklahoma? What do they call that area? It's like Texarkana, but what's the?
Oh no, Texarkana's over. Yeah, Arkansas. Northeast.
Yeah, what's the panhandle with Oklahoma called?
Oh, I have no idea. I've always called it the panhandle.
Huh. Yeah, I think so.
Well, there you go. I don't know.
That area.
Yeah, up in there. You're welcome.
North area. So this film sets up a lot of different things with the Michael Myers thing, not just bringing him out again from this hospital, but just bringing him back into the view of Loomis and Haddonfield. And a lot of stuff incurs, starting with
the ambulance ride.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which is really weird, because, I mean, they check the blood pressure on him. They take him up. They get him in the ambulance.
Nobody has ever heard of fucking atrophy.
Nope.
If you're laying there 10 years, your muscles aren't going to work. Especially putting a fucking thumb into your forehead.
The shape knows no bounds. He doesn't. Sir.
He is the presence of evil.
I love that camera shot, though, where it's like you're in the back of the ambulance and you see like the hand of Michael Myers, and you see like the doctor in the window of the back of the ambulance, and then he drives off. I love that shot. It was just a really cool shot. Well, for this not being a Cundy film, I found little things that I truly did still enjoy.
That's actually funny, because that, I guess, hospital it is in this. The front of that's fake.
Oh, wow.
Where it shows the guard, they built that addition. That's just a flat wall.
Cool.
It's the Meridian in, fuck, I can't remember what city in Utah. But by Ogden. Funny enough, I said Ogden. Here we go. Halloween's in Ogden. In where they drive off to, mm-hmm. there's actually nothing there.
That's awesome.
It just pulls out of frame.
Just amazing.
And that house is no longer there. But that was like a hospital for sick children.
Oh, wow.
And now it's luxury apartments. Have fun staying there.
Thanks, Giuliani.
Giuliani. No, that'd be Mitt Romney.
Thank you.
The senator for Utah.
Gotcha.
Sounds about right.
I get my Republican.
Half of it's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Yes, this is the first film outside of California. This is the first time they've ever been outside of California to shoot.
It looked great.
Yeah,
I like the setup. I mean, I like the exterior shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for a Halloween to have fucking corn.
Get that corn out of my face!
It's October. There's corn everywhere, all over Illinois.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Forget it. You couldn't keep corn out of the shot if you filmed it in Illinois, so.
Film it in San Antonio.
I think having Michael Myers in like a corn maze would be fucking dope.
Yeah.
And that's a little Freddy vs. Jason, but you know, keep in mind this is 15 years earlier.
The closest you get to it is the barn scene in part 6. That's about, it's not corn, but it's like
part 5. Yeah.
Film it in
and 6 has that barn scene.
Yeah, film that shit in northern San Antonio. Like this time of the year, it's corn everywhere. It's like corn fest out there.
Dude.
Like I was talking to a girl, she was fucking telling me that like the entire
that corn.
No. She was talking about like how she used to live in San Antonio, and every year they had like a corn festival, and the entire like entirety of San Antonio smells like corn for an entire month.
That's awesome.
Right. I mean,
yeah, just fucking film right there and just call it Haddonfield.
Dude, it'd be fun. It would be fun. Like, you know, a victim running from their house and running into like a cornfield and having to, you know, having to deal with that. You can't see 2 feet in fucking front of you.
Yeah, but I think what.
That'd be a badass shot.
Yeah.
It'd be running cool. Through the fucking cornfield and all of a sudden you see the mask right there. Yeah. It's like, woo!
Or, you know, you could even do it like Halloween 1 where he's in that door frame. And he just barely comes, you know, the mask starts getting light on it. You could do that with the corn maze. She's like sitting there panting, thinks she's done. And
you see that
right
mask
behind
just
her,
kinda...
the mask just kind of comes out of the darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be.
But what I thought was always badass, and I think that's what Carpenter, I don't know if it was his intention or not, but with all the films that predate Halloween, well, what Halloween gets done right is that, like, if you don't encounter Norman Bates unless you go stay at his hotel. You don't see Jaws unless you go into the water. You don't see Jason unless you go stay at his Crystal Lake fucking, you know, camp. With Halloween and Michael Myers, it's like, here's an evil that seeks you out. It's like, you're not even safe in your bedroom. You're not safe in your closet. You're not safe anywhere. And I always thought that was like the biggest trick, is that you looking out your fucking bedroom window at 3 a.m. could get you fucking killed, because you might have seen, you know, the shape.
Yeah, he's stalking you in your territory,
And I think that was like the big deal with this, guys. Us coming back to, you know, coming home to roost. You know, it's like, hey, we're back in Haddonfield, and now just going to go fucking trick or treating, and you know, turning your back for a second could get you killed.
So, does everybody know who Jamie's parents are?
Yeah, right.
What's her last name?
Holden.
What? Holden Caulfield. Yes, that was.
Barry Manilow.
No, her name's Lloyd.
Lloyd. Oh,
Jimmy
Lloyd.
Lloyd. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So Jimmy,
Lated,
raped his patient.
Well, he hooked up with her, and then he said, "You know what? We'll just put this kid up for foster."
He was pretty frisky with that. Yeah. You want a Coke? As long as there is thirst, there's always the real
thing. Always Coca-Cola. Do you think Jamie? I mean, Lori just disappeared too. Like, she went to Burning Man.
No, they died in a car wreck.
Oh, really?
There's a newspaper clipping right in the beginning when Jamie's looking through her memory, and you see the cameo from Jamie Lee Curtis, a production still photo from Halloween. I guess Jamie Lee Curtis doesn't wear anything else besides a fucking pantsuit.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a production still for Halloween. You know, her sitting in the grass like, gay. It's like, okay. But yeah, then the next is an article says two die in a car crash.
Gotcha.
So it's her parents both died.
This had a weird, after the thumbprint.
But that was the thing, is in H2O, you know, they talk about how she faked her death and became Carrie Tate.
No.
And it's this like frantic, over-possessive mother, but yet she's got a daughter out there. And we'll get to some scenes during that. They did do some callbacks. Originally shot, they were supposed to call back to this 4, 5, and 6, but they cut it because they're like, look, it's
yeah,
fucking, we don't want anything to do with those movies.
I'm hurting my neck right now just shaking my head at you. I was like, God, this fucking mythology.
Well,
they hear
that she gets the news in H2O that Jamie died, and she goes and throws up, and that's like the mention. And that would have been like the only tie-in.
Jesus.
But it's like, they kind of did. We'll get to that.
Yeah. It's a lot of bullshit, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're jumping ahead of the trilogy on this one.
It's hard to talk one without talking the others.
No. I mean, I agree. I mean, that's why I fucking feel like this one was the best one that stand alone, because it was like, it's just a nice wrapped up story. You know, you bring them back and you kill them off. That was it.
Yeah.
And you go into the night. But after the thumbprint and the ambulance and shit, you get introduced to Jamie's little nightmare
thumbprint
sequence.
Thumbprint from hell.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Donald Pleasance walks up to this river, you know. He's like, how many people in the bus?
Fucking, three,
there's
four.
Blood smeared on the outside everywhere. Jesus. Blood all over the inside. It's like, fuck, they like
Jason
dissected a cow up in this bitch.
They fucking repainted
the
interior.
Oh, for real. I mean, there's smudges
all over everything.
All over. He's like, how?
Cherry red paint job inside.
Did anyone survive? You tell me. You got a 300 gallons of blood splashed on an ambulance. Jesus Christ.
I love this setup, though, of Jamie having those nightmares right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Her clutching the box and stuff like that. I mean, having Michael introduce that early and just going full-on was really cool to have that kind of intercut nightmare sequence in there. Because it's just like, he's by the bed, he's outside the door, he's in the closet. It was like, oh, cool. You like get all these really cool, fun jump scares right from the get-go. That there's obviously a knowledge and a connection with Jamie's situation and the Michael Myers.
Now that we're bringing up like the appearance of like Michael in the mask and the jumpsuit, so on and so forth, what was it that changed about him in this?
He's wearing shoulder pads.
Uh-huh.
And the mask is totally fucking off.
Mm-hmm.
Totally off. Go ahead.
Did it seem like he was a bit stockier?
Oh, yeah. Dude, George Wilbur's huge. You're like, this isn't the 5'9 Nick Castle. Looked like he was, this is like 6'2 George Wilbur.
There was like some scenes it looked as though he had no neck.
Oh, yeah, it's shoulder pads.
Because he was like,
yeah, they made him like a fucking football player and a very undersized fucking.
He got the call for the Head and Shoulders commercial and he forgot what he was talking about.
Dude, that's it. There's no neck.
Because all the intro stuff where he's wearing the bandage works.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. They missed a huge opportunity in this movie.
Because that was very Western, old Western kind of film with, like, you know, the hero coming back to town and then he finds the guy with no face. And it's like that was just great having that setup of, like, you know, the nemesis and the adversary and all that kind of stuff. Like
I just feel like they missed something here. Like, they could have kept Michael in those bandages. Yeah, go ahead and get the mechanic suit. Fine. But keep him in those bandages because he looked fucking scary.
You know what would have been really cool? Like, do what you were saying. Keep him in the bandages. Give him the mechanic suit. But over the course of the film, those bandages start to slowly, like, get torn away. So you get, like, an eye socket. You get another eye socket. And, like, patches of hair start to show through the top of it.
Yeah.
To where you get, like, kind of like a reminiscent look of the mask and it not be the mask.
And then it's the mask.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
The bandages end up becoming the shape of the mask.
I think, like, these next three are where the lure that you never see Michael's eyes come from. But yet, you know, Halloween 1, yeah, it doesn't show his eyes at all. But Halloween 2 shows a lot of his eyes. You know, where he kills the chick who's hollering at Mrs. Elrod.
Yeah.
The part where they get to the hospital, shut the door, and Michael stand there looking. Like, they show a lot of his eyes in it. So,
but the other fumble
I think that's where they were afraid of. They wanted that blackness back to the original.
Well, they fucked up in the original because they humanized him when he had that moment where his mask wasn't on.
Yeah, I know.
That was a big fumble. I think that's one of the things, like, they should have, George Lucas didn't kind of cut that out.
Well, George, he's all snip it and add a character.
I have a CG song here.
She swung first. No, but like. Yeah, that does humanize him, but that is the part kind of like there's that psychosis where people hide behind their
masks. A listener right now said the fucking scene, the Michael at the beginning with the clown mask humanized him. So it's like people are obviously going to go back to, like, you can defend it.
No, but he always commits acts without the mask or with the mask on.
Yeah.
It's like that's his barrier. That's his safe spot. So, like, when she pulled it off, he immediately, instead of going after her, like Jason does, he immediately put the mask back on.
Yeah.
So
that's what, maybe that might have been, like, if you want to see it this way or if you want to spin it this way, maybe his entire, like, it allows him to make the kill without actually feeling as though he's there.
No, but he killed all those people in that gas station with the bandages on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so he's hiding behind.
Gotcha.
He's still hiding behind a facade of some sort.
Where if it was him just with his face out, he'd probably go comatose again.
Don't go to the town, Michael. Don't go. Oh, I love that scene. I love that stare down at the fucking.
Oh, it's so great. That's Penny's, like, the best. Penny's Diner. It's still there. It's right outside of Ogden.
But imagining, like, the speed Michael would have had to move.
But that's
to get away from the gunshots and then get into the truck and then drive off.
They play a lot with, like, this ghostish element, like the Jamie.
Yeah,
you know, sleeping and looking through the pictures and things, and then Donald Pleasant's like hallucinating that Michael's there, but Michael is there. So yeah, I mean, he comes flying out of the garage.
Yeah,
which is on the opposite side of where he was yelling at him.
I don't know. I mean, I love the scene. I'm just
people
just...
in peace, Michael. God damn you!
And bang. Bang! He pulls a fucking Neo from the Matrix and
is out,
gone.
But that's the thing. I think it was more like he knew he was there because he already saw the dead mechanic. Yeah. So I think it was just kind of like in his. I don't know.
I mean, I like it.
I do.
I like
Michael! That scene.
God. I love it. He gets blown up again.
Dude, for real. You'd think he'd have like a total phobia of fire.
Jesus Christ. He just fucking blows up, gets thrown behind some trash cans, and next thing you know, they even go to the point to like show the phone lines getting fucking damaged to cut off the long distance fucking calls from Haddonfield outward. Mm. I don't know. But, yeah. It's all good, you know? I mean, you have so much set up there right from the get-go, and it bounces you right back into the family dynamic of, like, Jamie being the foster child and dealing with Rachel and the foster family and, you know, being kind of scrutinized as to whether she's, you know, kind of screwing with Rachel's, you know, love life and stuff. But then quick cuts right back to fucking Loomis hitchhiking. And this is, like, one of my favorite scenes because, like, Loomis has given his life, if not his existence, to trying to save young people and prevent them from dying from, you know, the menace of Michael. And you have this, like, nice little car, you know, pulls up, convertible. Hey, come on, old man. Come on, get in. And they just give him, like, they just make him eat dust, literally. And it's just a slap in Loomis's face, you know?
Paradox.
You God. Mean, like,
I'm saving you, but you're a fucking shit heel to me.
And it wouldn't have hurt so much except he smiles, you know? He's like, oh, you know, like, they're going to help me.
God. I mean, he's got a cane and a fucking harsh limp, fried face. God. Not too much is looking good in Sam Loomis's world anymore.
Yeah. But being picked up by the priest, the reverend, I think this is the closest we get to examining the idea of what Loomis is, and actually Loomis actually seeing a mirror of himself, of like, hey, look at this crazy ass old kook, you know, preaching the word of the God and fighting damnation. And then he kind of has that moment where he looks in the mirror and he's like, this is kind of who I am. Like, that's kind of, he's finally getting an idea of how the sheriff and the other doctors might view him as just being this
kook.
Yeah.
What are you going after? I'm going after the apocalypse.
Oh, you're chasing damnation? I saw it.
I could see it in your eyes.
I could see it like breasts and blue suede shoes.
God.
I love this fucking preacher.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. He starts singing and shit. Like, Loomis was just like, what the
fuck? And it's awesome because it's like almost like he rides into town kind of with arm in arm with somebody that he probably, you know, are not very different from.
Yeah.
He's not very different. True. And it's awesome. Because I don't know screenwriter Weiss or not, because this was a really fun scene to have pushed in. Because, you know, any other fucking director or writer might just get him to town.
Just wrote it off.
Yeah, just get him to the town, get him to the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm. I just, you know, going back to the bandages thing, I just hate the way he gets his mask in this movie.
Yeah.
I hate it. So they go to Vince's Drugs and
Jamie gives in after being picked on at school that she's, fuck it, you know what, I'm not going to just go home and so have sad. Ice cream. She's so going to go and she's going to trick or treat.
Jamie doesn't have a parent. Jamie's mommy's a mummy. You little fucker. Your parents are dead. Like, leave her alone.
Very Freddy Krueger, Son of a Thousand Maniacs.
So fucking mean. And she's hiding behind a tree crying. And finally, Rachel shows up and takes her to the... Yeah, she's like, I want to get a, you know, Halloween suit. So they go to Vince's Drugs, and you know what? She picks out a clown suit.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And she's, I love that. But as she's holding it up, like, Michael appears behind her. She backs up into a mirror.
Oh, yeah.
And is staring at him, but then nobody's there. But then when they leave, Michael's, like, in a little piece of broken glass. Like, you see his face and him, like, walk away, and it's like... Okay, so a deep-fried motherfucker just walked in your store, put on a mask, and scared a kid, and then just walked out? Like,
and you didn't even fucking see him?
Yeah, and did he pay?
And they have, like, multiple employees and stuff there, right?
He paid with his thumbprint.
Right. Another fucking thumb death. These thumbs, people.
That's awesome. I love that, though.
Sir, you gotta use the chip.
Like, I love when they show they do a quick shot of the phone in the diner, the gas station diner, and you see it's just crushed. It's like, God damn, this guy's hand strength is retarded. It's like fucking
dude,
crap.
It's insane. Like, this is the chapter where he becomes superhuman.
He has like anti-atrophy.
Dude,
I've rested these muscles.
Yeah, exactly. They're ready. You had 10 years ready.
He's had those like hand braces that have like the springs on the on the knuckles. Like, he's just like flexing the entire 10 years.
Iron Man thing to not let the Infinity Gauntlet close.
I have no idea how he does it. If I sit on the shitter for too long, my leg starts getting pins and needles. Like, ow, okay, I gotta get up.
God, he's going there going to the drugstore and picking out masks. Out the fucking bathroom.
Wife's like, what's wrong? It's like, you don't want to know.
Balls are numb. Hold on.
Fucking Pornhub wouldn't load.
Oh shit!
I clicked on the wrong fucking video.
You ever seen a transgender? I thought I was jacking off to a girl.
They call those trap.
Next thing I know, I'm watching Sleepaway Camp. Jesus Christ!
For real, it was all good until she went fucking.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
It was all fine until she turned over.
Oh, man.
What the fuck?
Jesus.
This is called trap videos.
Well, I'm too far into it. Let's finish.
Quick, Buzz, look, an alien!
Where?
Boing.
Did I send that to you?
Yes. You sent it to both of us.
Fucking like,
God, nothing like a 2-foot dick.
I was cussing your name that night. Jesus Christ, I'm never going to answer a text from this guy ever again.
Nope.
I would file, I'd press charges on you.
Block caller.
Oh. I got a feature on my
phone. That's why you never answer.
I got a feature on my phone that says stage fright. So pretty much I'm able to like do like a 2-second preview of what it is and let go if I don't want to see it.
That's awesome.
So you didn't see it?
No. This is I got that feature because of you.
There's an app now, so I won't be scarred.
There's an app
you
now.
You should see my golfer one. That one's fucking hilarious.
Nope.
That was hilarious.
I went and found an app because of you.
God damn. You see the type of friends I got, people. Or am I that type of friend?
You're that type of friend, you fucking asshole.
He sends us those, and he walked around in fucking blue Speedos.
Well,
sparkles.
Yeah.
I needed to do my sumo stretches for that night.
Uh-huh.
Like, seriously, I
you ever seen a pretzel hot dog?
I came out and I went, like, Ralph's sitting here, I went, ahoy, good, dropped it, like, right in his face.
Have you ever stepped on a can of Vienna sausages?
God damn.
He bent Thank over, you. It was like a can of biscuits that popped.
God damn it.
Pop! The fuck?
That's some strong threading.
God, yeah. I didn't know Pillsbury made clothes. So Jamie breaks a mirror.
Man, yes, please, let's move on.
Yes. Probably think of something else diabolical. Ooh, I thought of one. You want me to share a story?
I don't know.
Is it funny?
Is it funny?
Might be.
Okay.
So Ralph wears glasses. Yeah, he came over my, like, surprise, like, there was a big surprise birthday party.
Oh, the one I distracted you at.
Yeah, he totally, like, he Ralph's like, hey, buddy, let's go get our favorite, you know, fucking Philly cheesesteaks. I was like, sweet, and the whole way I'm, like, cussing my old lady, like, she didn't do anything for me this year, I'm done with her. I get back to my house, and she, like, invited friends from out of town to my party. You came to that party.
Yeah.
Like a whole bunch of people. I got shit faced by the end of the night, dude. Jeez. Like, I was shite fucking drunk. And, you know, like, how we, like, when you're sitting on the couch, I had the two big windows right there that you're looking at the TV, you see these two windows. It was all the way up, and Ralph is sitting there without his glass on, rubbing his eyes, and I was out on the other side outside smoking a cigarette. I look at him, Ralph's just kind of staring down. So I took down my pants and started flopping my dick at him. And Ralph didn't budge. He, like, I thought he was looking at me, but he just had this blank expression. I was like, huh. I pulled my pants and I was like, pondered it for a day. I was like, Ralph, are you scarred from what I did? He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, the other day I, like, flipped my dick at you for like 10 seconds and you just kind of looked at me with like such disdain. He was like, "Oh, I didn't have my glasses on. I didn't see shit."
Oh my God.
I looked at him like I was unimpressed.
Yeah, I was just like, dude, disappointed.
Ralph, that's positive karma, man. Like somebody paid it forward to you. It's like, you know what? You've done such good things. Glasses off today, sir.
Dude, really, you just stand there like this. I was like, does he not see it?
Sammy says it's a good size. What the fuck?
Yeah. What does she know? She used to be a lesbian.
Hey, Jeff, you want to come over to a surprise party?
Yeah. Oh, don't stay to the end. Oh, that's shit. When it gets a little funky.
It's like, God damn. Somebody hit some hot sauce in these eyes real fast.
This helps. That works good.
I need hot sauce and a lobotomy, please. God,
blinded by the light.
Blinded by the white. Are you lost?
No. At Vince's drugstore, Rachel's trying to make kind of like a pass back at her boyfriend. You know, she's apologizing to her boyfriend Brady that she's not going to be able to go on a date tonight because she's got to watch Jamie that night. For many people that recognize the actor Sasha Jensen, Brady also comes out in Buffy the Vampire Slayer with the oh my God, what's her name that plays Buffy in the original movie? She's amazing.
What, the movie?
Yeah, the movie.
That's fucking Christine.
Christine Swanson. Yeah, Christine Swanson. Yeah, well, he comes out in that, and he also comes out as the unforgettable character in Dazed and Confused.
You want to see the hottest version of Christine Swanson? Which watch film? The Chase.
Oh, yeah, with Charlie Sheen.
Gorgeous in that movie.
That short haircut.
Yeah. She's
gorgeous.
Forget it. She took me off of like Cindy Crawford and like and all those models. Like I was like,
and if you're going to sit down and you're going to check out some old school Charlie Sheen, The Chase.
Oh, yeah. 100%. The fact that Henry Rollins is a cop in that movie is fucking hilarious.
Amazing. Terminal Velocity. That's another fun one.
That is great.
And The Rookie. With Clint Eastwood and Charlie Sheen.
Never saw that one.
Oh, man. That's a fun one. Those are some cool Charlie Sheen films.
Men at Work with Emilio Estevez.
Oh, yeah. Golf Clap. Yeah. That's a child.
I said this sucks. And basically so do you. Come here, you little motherfucker.
Time to do the nasty. Nasty? Nasty!
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 Oh, man.
That is like the best brother movie I've ever seen. And X-rated, okay? Not a lot of people have seen X-rated. That movie is fan-fucking-tastic. It's about Jim and Artie Mitchell.
Oh,
the Mitchell brothers.
I don't think I've seen this. Perfect.
Wow, I have it.
Either.
I own it.
Wow.
You can borrow it anytime you want. But it's just like, I mean, these guys, Jim and Artie Mitchell, used to like entertain Hunter S. Thompson. Like they were like the first, like, not movie pornographers, but the like their shit blew the fuck up. Like they made like $60 million in the 60s off of Behind the Green Door? Behind the Green Room?
Yeah.
Green Door. And I can't remember the chick's name. I know it's Marilyn something, but she was the main star, and it just so happened she also did like a soap commercial for somebody.
Rated X.
Rated X.
Yeah. I said X rated. Threw me off. Yeah, rated I was like, X. What the fuck?
But yeah, I mean, yeah. This is their story. And
that's awesome.
It's just drugs and debauchery and nudity. A plus.
So you got some homework there if you're in a Charlie Sheen mood.
There you go.
Which has nothing to do with this film that we're watching right now, which is
nothing.
Just a little side
street we decided to take on
Halloween
this detour.
Could benefit greatly from Charlie Sheen.
And side streets.
That's right. And cocaine. Well, there was cocaine in
because,
part
I mean,
three.
Imagine if like Charlie Sheen did pick up like the role of like Brady or something like that.
Dude, I can't remember. Oh, you know, that was Nightmare on Elm Street. Charlie Sheen was supposed to be the Johnny Depp character.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Goddamn.
He wanted too much. $3,500 a week.
Fuck that.
You tell him, fuck you.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Well, who's winning nowadays?
That's a tough one.
He's damn near bankrupt, and he's got AIDS or HIV.
Yep.
My Johnny Depp's sitting on like almost $700 million.
And he's still making movies, and he's in the new Harry Potter stuff.
Who?
Johnny Depp.
Oh, you're saying Charlie Sheen? He's like Alakazam.
He's a wand.
He's the voice of the broom.
God, winning.
Winning. Fucking Tiger Blood. All right, back to the movie.
He's starring in Philadelphia, too.
And yet, Antonio Banderas is still in it.
The least you could do is kiss me with your tongue.
Jesus.
That's awesome.
What did you say the other day?
That's awesome.
Oh, your dog.
My dog. Yeah, my dog's... She's got some kind of weird autoimmune fucking disorder.
She's got dog HIV.
So basically, my dog's got Philadelphia. You're saying my dog's turning to Tom Hanks from Philadelphia. That's basically what you're saying to me.
Jesus.
God damn. I'm going to come into the house one day. She's going to be playing opera music.
Oh, oh my God.
And howling.
Losing all of her clients.
God. Andy brought AIDS into my house. God damn it.
Jesus Christ. Oh, that movie's so terribly sad.
Oh, man.
All right. So where's Andy in this movie? Where are we going?
Oh, no. Yeah, I was just making the comment about Brady, who really, luck of the draw, things go right for Brady. And
all
then they
day
go wrong.
In this movie.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a way you're going to go out, at least go out in that direction.
Hot scene with a cold shower. Like, for real.
Here, just put a magazine on top of that thing.
I know. Oh, it's my dad. 30 seconds later, he walks through the door. There is no way my pants are fitting. Like, there's no.
Tell him I'm in the shitter.
I want Mythbusters to do this scene.
I am going to the bathroom.
For real. Like,
I'll be in the bathroom.
I'm going to just stick my dick in the sink. It's Illinois in October. Jesus. I won't have a problem, I don't think. Oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't know, man.
That one guy, you're like, what is he doing? He's taking a shit. Why is the shower on?
I don't know. Maybe he's douches.
He doesn't like to sound like a commotion's going on. I don't know.
Me, myself, Irene, just...
Patty kicked that motherfucker.
Just washing up. Ralph?
No.
You know what's funny is if I was actually washing my ass out in the sink and Ralph walked in, that would not be the weirdest thing he's ever seen.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
No. You're like, this is normal.
Apparently there's weird things he hasn't seen too.
No, there's been plenty of weirdness.
God damn.
I lived with him.
He lived with me for like a year and a half.
Yeah. Yep. You fucking cocoed him to the fucking, from the bathroom to the goddamn.
I like to break him in easy.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
God damn. You carried fucking Maui on your back naked.
Yeah, he was naked. I wasn't. So who's had worse?
Jeez.
You know, flipping the dick through a window at somebody or carrying that naked dick?
Carrie said naked dick to bed.
Hey, you're welcome.
That's
thank you. Good night. Good for you.
God damn. God, you're over there trying to find the eternal sunshine.
I just had to take a shit. And he was like harnessed around the toilet naked. I'm like, this ain't going to work.
I'll just stay in Jeff's room from here on.
No. It's fine. No. You ain't going to have any room in that room.
No.
With Jeff and his pickle? Yeah.
No. Bicentennial
he's
time.
He's getting two pickles this next year.
One for me and one for you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That's
hilarious. They're going to eat me. All right. Roll credits.
The trick-or-treating goes well. What happens is eventually Rachel goes to what's her name's house? The sheriff's house. Sheriff's daughter's house.
Meeker.
Mr. Meeker's house.
Kelly, I think.
Yeah, and then when they go to Kelly, Kelly notices Rachel. She's like, oh, hey, Rachel. And then Brady comes up in the background, and then Rachel kind of has her little fit.
Oh.
From here on out, you get this really long, drawn-out scene of, like, kind of Jamie getting disconnected from Rachel, and it kind of gets kind of dark and eerie.
Well, the power goes out because
he takes out Corky at the power line. Which is kind of weird because all this stuff is going on while the kids are trick-or-treating, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Which is weird because Loomis goes to the Meeker, the sheriff's station. He gets full cooperation from the get-go, which you rarely see in horror films. He's like, call the fucking television, tell them to put a curfew in effect. Let's go start looking for Michael. So while all this stuff is going on, Loomis and Meeker, the sheriff, are out looking for Michael. You have, like Nate said, you have the power being taken out for Haddonfield. You have sometime Michael Myers goes to the sheriff's office and just eliminates the entire police force.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also able to get on the streets and kind of semi-stalk Jamie, hunting her down. Which is just like, man, he's just kind of come to town and just cranked it up to 11 this
time. He's got a checklist and he knows where he's going.
I mean, this obviously has like the highest body count. Mm-hmm. If you're going by like, you know, I mean, hands are being ripped off. He's reaching at other people's faces with his bare hands, which is just...
Dude,
man, that guy had
these thumbs, people.
Dude, like he killed like what, 3 people with just like, I'm just gonna rip into your neck and peel your face off. It's like, what?
Dude, there's only 2 stabbings. That's mm-hmm. it. The rest are all fucking weird, crazy death. And this is again the sign of the times. I'm trying to keep up with Jason and Michael and
trying to keep the gore effect up.
Sad. I mean, you could have kept the gore effect up with knives.
Gotcha.
That's Michael's thing. He impalation. He likes to stab,
which he doesn't get until like.
But he likes to stab, virgin girls, which is like pre-sex, and stabbing is like kind of like a thing, so they don't. But you know, going after a 9-year-old kid's kind of weird. It's not really his MO if you think about it. His daughter or his sister Judith was fucking. He killed her.
Yeah.
And then Lori was interested in boys and all her friends were fucking. But like, so he killed them and went after her. And
but like Loomis and Tommy Doyle would fucking later explain in a future film, they would be like, if it's kind of like Michael just sees as anybody that's in his house, he just says like he like needs to kill them.
Yeah, but they're not in his house.
And that's what's weird. It's like, okay, so now you're just drawn to idea.
Unless they mean Haddonfield being his home.
Home, man, maybe.
Well, no, because like, I mean, it's Strode. It's specifically Bloodline.
The Strode factor right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Strodes aren't even
related.
Lori's adopted by the Strodes. So she's Lori Myers, adopted by the Strodes, and her kid is now Jamie Lloyd, who...
So I like,
it's a mess.
So when you simplify it, like Ralph said, if he sees that just the Haddonfield draw, that's the clearest way to fucking have fun with the series, because beyond that, you're shaking your head at the mythology going, Jesus.
Well, this is like the start of the Thorn series. It's not heavy in this movie, but we'll get into the Thorn series later. That's going to be...
Oh, that's...
Have fun explaining that one, Jeff.
Oh, it's always fun. Always fun.
See that grimace?
I'm going to bring my rocks, my magical rocks.
My runes.
We got it from Stonehenge.
Rune if you want you to.
You have no idea what it took to get them.
Why don't you tell me?
No.
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 Leave that one to the better people. Yeah, like, so he always is like hunting a relative or a side relative or
family.
By the time we get to 6, I'll really
super extended family.
Yeah, not even family, like at all. It's very weird.
Oh, this was a family friend that we called aunt? Oh, fuck that bitch.
Yeah, wait till we get into 5. I got a big bone to pick with 5 and 6. Yeah.
Because 6, I'm like, why didn't you kill your babysitter since she looked after you there?
Well, Mikey. She's part of the call. Never mind.
Yeah, we'll I know.
But why have another one? Why not just get rid
of... Yeah, we're going to do it.
So, yeah, there's this long, drawn-out scene after, like, they get separated from trick-or-treating. Rachel's arguing with her boyfriend. Jamie goes off with a group of kids. Power goes out, and all of a sudden, the kids just ditch Jamie.
Yeah.
But Haddonfield's a small town, so she doesn't know where she fucking is. Like,
I know. That was the kind of weird shit. It's like, I don't know how to get back to my...
You could get lost and walk across Houston in the time that it takes for her to find Rachel.
Like, oh, shit.
It's like, seriously, like 15 minutes of screen time, I bet. I would guess.
Because you're dealing with Loomis finding they find the dog dead in Jamie's closet.
Yeah, old Sunday got it.
God damn it. And then you get to, you get to such a far extent in the film that you bring back
the... Also, you get the hillbillies corralling for...
The sheriff didn't answer his phone. That's not supposed to happen. Let's go check it out.
They get over there, you know, all the fucking cops are murdered in the building. Sheriff Meeker and Loomis are standing on the steps.
I love that quick that talk that Loomis and the sheriff has. What is he, goddammit? He's evil. They cut.
He always says it's evil. Everything's this is the worst.
I feel like he wanted to go.
I love Donald Pleasance and I love Sam Loomis, but if your doctor thinks that you're evil, probably need a new doctor.
I feel like they had to pull Loomis from like the soapbox just to get him to say that one word, that evil. I was like, thank you.
He is evil.
So yeah, he's standing on the front of the police station with Sheriff Meeker and fucking the Lord Hicks the... roll up.
I was gonna say Miller Lite, Lord of the Flies show up.
I'm telling you, it's the Silver Bullet cast.
it totally is.
And they're like, you know, they're like, everybody go home. And they're like, bullshit. This guy lost his kid 10 years ago. And he's like, you think we're going to do our job this time, Sheriff? And Loomis is like, it's Michael Myers. And he's like, you son of a bitch. You just started a lynch mob. He's like, you haven't got a police force.
I love that line.
Can I have another drink of scotch, please?
God damn.
Loomis. Dude, it's amazing. Yeah. He does some really good phrases in this movie, but I mean overall, like, Donald doesn't have much to do.
He chews up the scenery for some of
it. Oh, yeah. Real, like, he's over the top and big and just about everything, but it works pleasantly. So pleasant. I just caught myself. Shut up.
Gotta insert major fucking like pun award there.
Golf clap.
Beautiful.
Unintended, fuckers.
I'm seeking out tenure.
If anyone would like to have me a guest on their podcast,
contact him at www.fuckyoufuckyoufuckyoufuckyou.com. When the hillbillies run across what they think is the shape.
I saw him. He's over there in the bushes.
What should we do?
Dude, let's line up 25 deep and just fire every fucking bullet we have. Like, and what's sad is that structure is actually a veterans memorial in Utah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God damn.
They just made another one.
Wow. Oh, shit. And when they go and they look behind the bush to see if they've taken down the shape, they lo and behold learn that they have.
You dumb son of a bitch. You said it was Myers. Well, shit, Earl, that's Ted Hollister.
This was a major miss in my book. I would have loved if they would have said, oh, my God, it's old man Bill Tramer. Or Tamer, sorry, Tramer. And if they would have said, like, wow, his fucking brother Ted. If they would have connected the Tramer situation from fucking part two to this.
That
would have
been funny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. That's Donnie Tramer.
Thank you. That's all he needed to do. That's Donnie Tramer. Damn thing happened to him about...
Shit, didn't his son die 10 years ago?
Sure did. That would have made...
That would have been fucking
magic.
Funny.
That would have been magic.
Yeah.
God damn it.
God, missed opportunities.
Yeah.
So many missed opportunities in this movie.
And you can fix it, too. If somebody was like cool enough to go in there and just kind of overdub or redub that little line.
Like I said, the box set, the audio syncs off. Yeah. You can easily overdub it and no one would notice.
That's Donnie Tramer. Same damn thing happened to his little brother, Billy Tramer, 10 years ago.
His son. Man, what the hell?
Oh, man, that would have been awesome.
That would be... Wow, Jeff. That's good.
It would have been...
That's good. So, yeah. So, everything we've been talking about...
Brings us...
Jamie and... What's...
Rachel.
Rachel are just wandering... Around, finally, they find each other.
Oh, when Loomis and the Sheriff Meeker pull up in the car.
I have a statement to make.
Oh, yeah?
I think Michael Myers talks in this movie.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
I've got some other people that think the same things. I've seen some videos of some people debating it. I kind of agree. It would be weird if it was.
Because they're fucked with it.
Right. So they come up on Jamie and Rachel. They're loading them in the police car. Sheriff Meeker and Loomis are loading them in the police car. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you see, like, hazily in the background, a Michael Myers is standing there. And then Meeker's like, is that him?
Is that him?
Loomis is like, yes. And then on, he looks over at Loomis, and over Loomis's shoulder, another Michael Myers appears. And then Loomis looks at Meeker, and another one appears, and they're like, oh my God. And Meeker pulls out his gat and points it, and they're like, oh, wait, hold on, it's just a joke. Ha ha ha. And like, they start running off, but then you hear, you thought it was me. And then they get in their car and leave, and Michael Myers is standing in the street. Why would the guy say you thought it was me?
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember we talked about that. I was like, it's
strange.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. This last time I watched it, I didn't catch it. But, right. Yeah, I remember we had this.
Put on the captions for that part.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember watching it with the captions on, but I don't remember it saying that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
He says, you thought it was me. Huh. And then all the kids are running off. And then they get in their car and leave, and Michael's just standing there in the street. So it's awesome. That's fucking weird. And Michael would have been, 31.
And leave it to Wilbur. Just sneak in some dialogue.
It definitely wasn't George Wilbur. He's got a very deep voice, but it's like a teenager, early 20 voice. It sounds like a young adult.
What if it isn't even Michael Myers in this film? Because he starts off with the bandages and stuff. What if it's actually fucking Liam Neeson from Dark Men?
Great God. And you know what? They could have easily went that route and just... fuck the mask and made him a burnt zombie looking motherfucker. Really hate this mask. I hate the look of Myers in this film.
It's bleached out. It's almost more featureless because it's
like
so white.
Back with gel.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The eye holes are too small.
Yeah, they're smaller.
Then it's too monkey. Like, there's a part where there's the beginning part where you see him in Jamie's room, the dream.
Yeah.
And he sits forward and his forehead sticks out like some kind of elephant.
What's
weird,
I appreciate 4's mask because you see part 5's fucking mask.
Part 5, I don't mind the mask. It's totally different. It's not Shatner at all. Pointy nose and shit.
Part 5 fucking feels like a worm. It feels like really long.
Oh, yeah. It's really long.
It's like, what the fuck? It just feels like weird.
I think
because it kind of even like, it kind of, like almost like a bell bottoms out at the bottom. So yeah. The flare is out at the bottom.
They should have cut the excess off.
And I was like, dude, that kind of looks weird. Because when you see that barn scene, when he has the fucking scythe, you're like, what the fuck? He looks like a fucking, like a ghost from fucking Pac-Man or some shit.
Like over this next trilogy, I think 6 had the closest mask. But when they do a close up on 6, I mean, it looks like it has boogers in the nose. Like it's a choppy, shoddy mask.
Yeah.
But it looks good on film.
Like, I really don't even feel like I even really got a good look at the mask in part 6 at all.
Yeah, there's only one part, and that's where Michael is trying to get the little boy in the end, and he's hiding behind. Well, you watched the producer's cut, so that's all different.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of mask.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you get more Loomis.
Because you see a lot of the mask in part 5 because the way he hunts Jamie in part 5. But in part 4...
I hate the shoulder pads.
It feels like
I don't like it.
There's none of that cheekbone. I can't look at my poster anymore. There's no definition in his cheekbones the way it is in the
mask is just off. And whenever Michael's arms go above shoulder, like the suit is way too small. It's like he looks like one of those flying squirrels. Like
it looks just awkward.
Mine's sweat marks, but he's got wings.
Jetpack engage.
Sweat pack and
gauges. Meeker knows he can't take the Rachel and Jamie to the police department because
no police force.
you go to an empty police fucking station with just Ben Foster sitting in a cell.
You know,
ain't got no meat.
You're just Ben Foster sitting there all pissed off.
You ain't got no beer. Ain't got no light.
You ain't got nothing to drink.
That's fucking great.
But yeah, Meeker takes him back to his place. And man, when you get introduced to the trip to Meeker's house, it's just Kelly and...
Oh.
Kelly's just...
Oh.
Them deciding to light this young lady...
By fire
is just... Man.
There's 3 things that made me a man. This was one of them. You know, like, ooh, I feel a weird dingle in my mouth.
She's just jaw-droppingly gorgeous.
Dude.
I mean, she plays...
Kathleen Kinmon is...
She's just gorgeous in this film. I mean, she's just wearing that little t-shirt that just comes barely low enough to, like, you know, be a kind of a little nightgown t-shirt. But, man, she's just gorgeous.
That thong. That lighting. That back. Those boobies. Ralph?
He just smiles. I think Ralph's just been thinking about that scene the whole damn time.
Yep. I've been waiting for us to get to the scene.
Oh, dude, man.
For real.
Yeah, Brady just being down there just kind
of
just...
I love where she takes off the... I mean, first of all, I love where... Yes, she takes off the shirt and she's wearing this bra and it's like, wow. And then, of course, she does, you know,
does Sasha... a little tease, whatever.
Sasha ruins it. He sits up at the wrong moment. Like, right as she's dropping the bra, he sits up and it's like, ah.
You're the worst, Brady.
But then, like, she pushes him down and you get, like, this full-on ass shot that's just like, man, Sasha must work out.
Oh my.
I'm kidding. Kathleen Kinmont.
Fit as a fiddle.
Dude, that thing is.
Dude, gorgeous. What's funny is, like, nobody actually ever worded that situation perfectly until the remake of Friday 13th when the guy's having sex with that one chick and he goes, "Your breasts are stupendous." That is a summation of, like, that word carries technique and motive.
Finesse.
Technique, motive, finesse, class. Oh, my God.
That is how you express gratitude in those moments, man.
Oh, man. She are just everything on her stupendous. Dude. Like, it is tight, fine hide leather.
And that's why. That is like, that's like a. I don't know. You kind of say thank you because that's a film that just treasures that moment forever. Like that was those fucking moments are just there forever. You're like, wow.
That reminds me of like The Village where she's like, we should bellow it with all our hearts. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
perfect.
I just got dizzy.
Got lightheaded there,
oh
didn't you?
Oh, my God, dude. Well, one head's growing. The other one's shrinking.
This is... This
you decide.
Because, I mean, 78, you know, the nudity in that film was more of, like, realism. It was kind of like, oh, yeah, let's appreciate this little nick of the time. This was just like, wow.
We're talking breasts the size of PJ Soul's head. Not just seeing this is like... This is see something you want.
Go back to me, myself, and
I'm
I
sorry.
Again.
I get pervy on very few things, but this is pervy. This is childhood.
What's the name of the chick in Friday 13th with the shorts and that perfect bottom?
Oh, that. Oh,
God. I know.
What the fuck?
I know. You think you never.
Isn't she the one with the Mickey Mouse shirt?
Yeah.
Fuck.
What was her name?
I know.
Not Tracy.
You think you never forget it. You know you will never forget it, and then.
I don't know. Like I'm drawing
it slips
a blank.
Away.
Come on.
Because that's my like. You know,
don't make me use my phone.
If Kelly's our Halloween go to, that one chick was always like the Friday 13th.
Well, just that ass shot.
Yeah.
Come on, Halloween actually has just fucking
yeah. There's
awesome,
a list of
hot women,
great women. Yeah.
Yeah. Julie Aronson's like the one I go to. I'm just like, oh god.
Hey. Watch that. What's on the floor? My jaw, okay?
I will wash these underwear, not my mother.
God
oh,
damn it.
Man.
Oh, God.
That's a wish.
Okay, there's Vicky. That was the one that sprayed her cooter with perfume. And there was... That's not me masturbating. That's me rubbing my hands together.
How you think? Oh, my God.
Jesus.
I got deep grooves.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I got forearms like Popeye, too.
Like friction-based thinking, okay? Jesus.
Just give me your first letter. First letter.
I can't even find
it. Oh, she's haggard as hell now, but give me your first letter.
It's in part three, right?
Two.
Oh, man.
Three is Tracy Salvage.
You're right.
Which one's Deborah?
Terry.
Terry?
Kirsten Baker.
Oh, Terry, you got it going on. Yeah, that ass. But, I mean, there's like a finite amount of super sexy women in these low budget horror movies. Okay. Yes. Friday 13th ate them up. I mean, they always had a hot chick getting naked, except in part 7 and I even think part 8.
Well, what Kathleen Kinmont does as Kelly in this film was just, it was preserving that moment of, like, you know,
and it was tasteful because it didn't show, you know, exactly. It didn't show the rusty sheriff badge and it didn't show the pink nips and, you know, the things that I want. But at that age, it was tasteful.
Well, because, like, in the next part, you get a little bit more exploitive.
Oh, yeah. When she, my dad, and she jumps up and these fucking who's are just, I got to duck down for this shirt. All the boobs go that way. I got to duck down to the right to get my arm. And all the boobs. I mean, she's just swinging them things from the backside. And it's just like, huh. Like, you can make a beat to it and move your head along.
Actually, you can't see this because it's not a video podcast, but he's actually moving his head along.
Hey, man.
You
can put the rhythm of the beat.
You can sing a metronome to Nate's head for that.
I'm done. I'm cleaning my room.
I'm cleaning my room.
Shit, my mom's home. Pause. Dude, break out the schoolwork. Yeah, this was 8-year-old Happy Nate Land right here. I wore that fucking VHS out. I loved old VHS where you could pause it and just press fast forward once and it would slow-mo gyrate. Like, go forward ever so slowly, and then you press pause, and it's just like, anyone here?
Anyone? Anyone?
Mom? Dad? John?
Got any chores?
I'm good.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Donald the Duck enters the room.
What? Donald out. Yeah, but I mean, just how, sorry for all the pervy ladies.
Sorry, not sorry.
But just for all the, this whole scene was just so fucking sexy. It's not like Friday the 13th where it's just like, you know, flop them out, bend over, show the bush, fucking get murdered.
Guy crawls up on her and all that stuff. It's like, no, this is.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
This was tasteful. I mean, this is like, I couldn't imagine them not showing this on TV because there's nothing too revealing. It is very sexy. It's going to get a lot of old men hot.
It sets up the situation of, like, where, you know, it's very awkward when the fucking, they barge in, you know?
Yeah, and let's face it, Sheriff Meeker is not the guy that I would like to get caught boning his daughter.
Yeah,
because
6'3".
Yeah, he looks
piss
mean.
As shit.
He looks mean.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You stay in here, boy. Grab this shotgun. Oh, I think I should go home. No. And if I ever catch you diddling my daughter, I'm going to use that shotgun on you. Yeah, it is middle America.
He's the dad from It, too.
Oh, Bevy.
You're still my girl.
Oh, God, no. I still can't believe you guys don't see that.
I'm not going there with you.
Nope.
Oh,
yeah. Nope. Let's start talking about running
that
through
one in the bud right now. Nope.
Yep. Let's start talking about running through the cornfield again, too.
What happened
running
to the
cornfield? Running to the tractor tires.
Nope, nib that in the bud, too. Nib that one in the bud.
What happened to the tractor?
Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely fucking nothing.
Yeah. What about that scene in It Follows?
Absolutely fucking nothing.
Yeah, no, we're
all
not going.
Great.
We're not going there.
Nope, nib that one in the bud, too.
Yeah.
How about The Conjuring? It's directed by James Wan.
How about that?
Last night I didn't get that question.
What the fuck? That freaked me out.
Dude, I was having like a mental fatigue brain fart from that game last night. I was like, oh, cool. The first question I got right off bat. Second question, I fucking barely missed. Third question. And then from then on, I just rolled blue.
Dude.
To give you guys a
little
bit of...
whenever I wouldn't get blue, it was like,
to give you guys a little context, we got a fucking Trivial Pursuit horror game.
Is that what that is?
Yep.
That's not what this is.
Oh. What is that?
This is something else. We'll talk about it later. Yeah, we got Trivial Pursuit. Another fucking side street, guys. Trivia Pursuit horror game, and it comes with like 600 plus fucking questions that all of us were fucking baffled about.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
Like Jeff was actually having a brain aneurysm because he was getting pissed off because he didn't know some of these fucking questions. Jeff kept rolling the same fucking color.
Yeah,
that wasn't Jeff. That was me.
No, everything I got was like 1931 film.
Oh yeah, you kept getting the oldies.
Black and Jeff white hell.
Black and white.
And Nate kept getting fucking blue. Like blues.
Blue. I
Sammy
was...
couldn't get a fucking blues.
In the 1931 film Frankenstein, what was the name of Dr. What was the first name of Dr. Frankenstein?
Now let me cue you people in on something. I have a horror old classic sleeve. I love Frankenstein. I own 3 different copies of Frankenstein.
We've read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
I have, and I've watched every incarnation from Hammer to Robert De Niro. And what's that? I can't remember the actor who did it recently. All the incarnations that I remember. So this is
Hugh Jackman, Van Helsing.
Sorry. And this is even reading the book of Frankenstein. Victor Von Frankenstein. I answered Victor. His fucking name's Henry. I get so tantrumish when I'm wrong on certain shit that I love. We look it up, and every incarnation has been Victor except this one.
The James McAvoy film is called
Victor Frankenstein. James McAvoy was in that?
Yeah, it was James McAvoy and Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe was Frank the monster?
Daniel Radcliffe was Igor. Yeah. It's pronounced Igor.
Oh, that's great. Oh, yeah. I got to see that, I guess.
Yeah, sit down and watch it. It's really, really
I mean,
good.
Even that new Netflix series with Frankenstein, is his name's Victor. So, I don't know. Maybe I was just pounded over the head for so long with Victor. I missed it. Hey, that ain't even the embarrassing one. The embarrassing one was who directed The Conjuring, and I couldn't answer it.
I thought you were fucking with me.
Dude, I mean, if you go back, listeners, last, I think, year and a half, we did a James Wan retrospective.
James Wan,
I was ready about to throw that fucking bowl of popcorn at Nate as soon as he said he didn't know.
Oh, dude, I just, after I missed Frankenstein, which was, I think, my third question.
Yep.
I've never had a game, let alone a situation in life, ever ask me so many goddamn questions about the Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Midnight Meat Train got mentioned like 3 or 4 fucking
And the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari kept popping up.
That was neat.
And then, wouldn't you know it, any time I didn't roll blue, it was some foreign fucking horror movie that, you know, I'd rather watch fucking Moss grow than watch a fucking foreign film. Sorry.
I don't know.
That's me.
Anyway.
All right, so they're in the house.
Yep.
Meeker's got everybody kind of stationed to, like, you know, be on high alert. And they got Rachel and Jamie kind of situated. And, yeah, this becomes, like, the whole scene where Michael just kind of goes in and does some of the most, I don't know, in my opinion, some of the staple kills in the fucking film.
Some of his more creative work so far.
Yeah. Because you'll never look at a shotgun the same after this one.
You'll never look at your own thumb the same either, because Sasha gets it
with a
thumb and a neck crunch.
That was just wicked. I mean, he tried at least. At least he tried to be a stand-up guy, and then...
Who doesn't reload a double barrel?
Sasha, apparently.
No, god damn it, it's metal.
What does that mean?
We're trapped in this house. And then you don't reload it.
That's it.
And you wait till he's like a foot in front of you to try it, to fire. This house is awesome. This is where, like, a majority of the action happens. So Sheriff Meeker runs off to, before Michael starts killing people, obviously. Sheriff Meeker runs off to, what is he doing? Like, National Guard, bringing them towards?
Yeah,
they're using the radio.
Uses the radio to contact the National Guard.
Oh,
he
no.
He can't get a hold of anybody. Yeah, Rachel takes over it.
Right, but he heard that Earl and all the drunks killed Ted Hollister and run
around.
And he's like, god damn it. And he's locks himself out. And, you know, you kids stay here. And Donald goes with him, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, they go off and Michael gets a hold of them all. And then there's this really cool, like, fucking rooftop scene. Jeff, you want to...
No. The what's fucking funny about this goddamn rooftop scene is, like, as they're making their way through the attic, he finally gets the goddamn knife that he's been kind of, like, missing throughout the whole entire film.
Mm-hmm.
He finds it. Now we're in full fucking Michael Myers force. They can't find a way out. They bust out a window, and then I don't know. My initial reaction isn't always get the little kid on my back as we climb out into the roof. But she does this. Rachel gets Jamie on her back, and they're just trying to go in tandem to kind of get to the top peak of this roof. And now you have fucking Michael Myers doing this awesome fucking, like, wobbling his way onto the roof, finding his footing and stalking across the roof. And then you have this weird encounter of, like, hey, we're going to get this TV antenna cable. I'm going to try to lower you down. And the battle kind of ensues where, you know, a slice of dice, Rachel falls to the ground, Jamie fucking gets away,
One thing about this particular scene, I thought it was I couldn't stop laughing. Whenever Rachel and them get onto the other side of it, other side of the roof, and they start doing the entire antenna cable, all you see is Michael
climbing up.
Oh, yeah, man. So that is linebacker.
Like,
you see
his arm, like, poke up from the top, and he's like, kadoosh! Motherfuckers!
That's like special teams trying to block a punt. Okay.
Dude. Yeah. You see his two arms, and he's just like, motherfucker, why do we come up to the roof?
Yeah, where he kicks his foot up to get a hold of it. It's funny.
It's just so awkward.
Menacing, and all you see is just this fucking hulking of a man just trying to, like, hold on, crap.
Podcast right now, people.
Stretch for this.
But yeah, like, there's another scene where he tries to stab at him.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like that suit is so small on him, he, like, can barely, like, get the knife up. And then when he stands up, it's like, imagine Hulk Hogan in a medium. He's just like, he can't straighten his arms.
Or Nate in a Speedo.
Hey.
This is where it kind of gets a little...
I'm still flexible.
This is where it gets kind of long in the tooth, because they, from the roof scene, they're pursued by Michael. They run down the street and they go to the... They try to take shelter in the school. And this leads more into, like, I don't know. It kind of got a little stretched out here.
Yeah, it really did. At this point, I'm not going to lie. I was starting to, with this being like my second or third time watching this movie, this is when I kind of like start losing interest.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, man, all right, we got to the house. Oh. We get chased out of the house. Fucking, now we're in the school. Okay. Man.
What are we doing
this
now?
This feels like Lord of the Rings again. It just won't stop.
They subdue him again. They hit him with the fire extinguisher. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I feel as though they probably could have done without that entire school section. Just like trim that fat off and just kind of.
Like, if they would have, like.
Go from there to the fucking truck.
Yeah. If like, the truck would have pulled up and they didn't see Michael around and they helped Rachel and Jamie get into the truck, it would have fueled it. But no, they do this whole long thing of the school shit. Then they go out and they see the redneck guys, and then they get in with them, and the rest of the redneck guys are kind of like, all right, you get them to safety and
get them out of town.
Yeah, we're going to go and look at that school and see if we can find Michael and kill his ass.
By the way, different mask was used in the school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this was an added on shot.
Wow.
If you look, when he grabs Loomis, his hair is like the Ben Tramer. It's silver.
Oh, gotcha.
And the mask is like a totally different tone.
Totally missed that.
Yeah. It's very fucking weird.
What's weird, too, is when you're leaving Haddonfield, apparently, and state police is coming in, the best way to signal that you're not, a total degenerate or villain is you fire your shotgun in the air at the state police.
That won't get you in trouble at all.
Like, I was like, what the fuck is... God! God! I was like, whoa.
The cops are about as useful as fucking stormtroopers.
Hold on.
4 more miles that way, there'll be somebody that gives a shit about y'all. Head on yonder.
These aren't the girls we're looking for. Move along.
Oh, God. What do you think they'd handed out? Like, hey, National Guard, take one of you, 4 trucks coming at us. One of you guys take it, and we'll show you where we last saw them.
Four miles that way. You head on that way. We'll follow you up there. Okay, cool.
You never presume it's the finish line.
Logic just went out the window for that.
Oh, what fucked me is, like, how fucking drunk was Billy Bob? Because you got two guys in the fucking back of the tailgate, and then you got one guy. Wow, that is a different mask.
Way different.
You got two guys in the back of the bed of the truck, and then you got one guy sitting towards the tailgate. So there's 3 guys total in the back of the fucking truck. Billy Bob sitting towards the tailgate. Like, he's staring out backwards. At what point do you not notice the 6-foot
6 foot 2 dude,
yeah,
hanging under the truck.
Yeah, the guy with the huge fucking football fucking pads on, climbing up.
And
the
when, okay, they grab Jamie. He just threw Donald Pleasance through a window at the school.
Yeah.
Jamie runs out the door. Jamie immediately gets grabbed by the guy. They throw him in the back of the truck, say, go, go, get out of town. And they leave.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, there's all bystanders right there. Where did he grab under the truck to get on it?
Talk to mine.
Exactly. Does not make fucking
sense. He was waiting in that mist fog.
What, like teleported under it?
Teleported under it. I don't know, because when they drive through the fucking fog, it was like, let's use this to give him camouflage to climb up the fucking tailgate and into the bed of the truck and kill everybody.
Now let's get specific here. That year of truck didn't have the greatest of back shock absorption. Nope. A 6 foot 2, probably 250 guy pulling himself up under the carriage, up onto the back.
One-handed.
And then stepping in. You're going to feel that motion.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And one-handed. And the guy's, like, he had a knife in the other fucking hand. He never, yep, like, you know, tucked it away in his blouse, yeah, or
right?
anything.
Like, his blouse. And, like, I've driven my fair trucks with, like, nothing in the back. And the moment I see anything, like, even look like it, like, fucking, like, twitches in the back of my truck, I immediately look right in that mirror.
If someone throws a fucking cigarette butt on the highway and it flings into
you'll
the back of your truck,
you'll fucking hear it.
What the fuck?
You'll fucking hear it. So I agree with you. What the fuck was Billy Bob Thornton fucking drinking?
Fuck
to where he didn't notice it, and the two guys behind him didn't notice it.
Yeah. Granted, the driver does have an excuse. He's got four fat guys in the back. You know, you can't really see it. Because two of them are sitting against the window holding the spotlight for
one guy's
reason.
Flashing his dick.
Yeah, the other guy's flashing his dick through the window.
Pulling at Nate.
Ralph, you forgot your glasses. You're driving.
But fucking.
He's like, fuck, Nate's in the back. I'm not. I don't care if we wreck. I must have a flat because I'm not looking back.
But no, like with the fucking like arm strength and fucking thumb strength that Michael has, you'd hear a like fucking hit the fucking,
or you would notice your fucking cavalcade of stooges in the back getting thrown and slashed
or just slowly fucking disappearing.
However, there is one death in the back of this truck that I'm still like, that stuntman had to have broken something.
Oh, when he got thrown onto his back?
Yeah, thrown from a moving vehicle. I don't care if it,
I don't know how he
20
landed
miles
that.
An hour or whatever. But he like swan dive reverse right onto the fucking pavement. And it's a shot from the ground, so you don't see any give.
When I saw it, I was like, you don't it's notice like, it?
And oh, that, I don't have loud clapping.
And that's
hands.
A but that was the weirdest thing is that you see the shot, but you don't notice it.
Oh. There we go.
There we go.
You don't notice.
Mechanic it. To the rescue.
It's such a solid fucking hit. You're right. Because like you, I was like, oh man, that's a fucking mean. You'd be in the fucking
like,
hospital.
Like if that was
like,
me,
wait.
I'd be like, who?
You ever see that video where the girl's crunching up the grapes?
You ever?
She's crunching. Yeah. That, is the YouTube-
Hey, stop. Oh, 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 I can't. Ow, ow, ow. Oh, stop. Oh, stop.
All right, stop. Oh, 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 oh.
That's all I could do.
You know, that's perfect. That's all I can think about when I see that guy eat it on his back. I'm like, fuck that.
Fuck that.
I can hear Nate doing that scene and him going, woo! Oh, ow, oh, ow, oh, ow, oh, ow. Oh.
dick hanging out and all.
God damn it.
Oh.
Boomerang Phelps didn't come back.
He didn't even look at it. I'd be more offended that nobody got to see it.
Oh, oh.
Oh. Oh God! I hope you play that clip.
It's the little things.
Gained weight. What do you want? Oh, I'm depressed.
It's reverse osmosis. Sorry, people. Science. Oh, God damn it.
Science rules.
So we get the next kill where he reaches through the glass of the driver's side window, and he just peels this motherfucker's throat like a fucking orange.
Yeah, it's fucking cool.
Just grabs him like by the jugular and just pulls his fucking face up.
A fucking flashback to fucking... A flashback to fucking Roadhouse.
No shit.
Straight up.
God damn it.
I tore a man's throat out. Where were you? Ogden, Utah.
I fuck guys like... I fuck bigger guys than you in prison or something like that. And he's like, that's it. You get your throat ripped out. Nobody says that kind of shit to me.
That's where I determine you must die.
Throat out. Face off.
Dude, yeah, he just like me. What?
Oh,
it's good makeup effect too.
Oh yeah,
because like you, it's like from where your corner of your jaw is, where your sideburns
grow.
Goes
into skin.
Ladies, if you have sideburns, I apologize. It's like that's where he digs in, just peels it all the way to the other side, and it's like,
wow. Yeah.
And Ted, Jamie and fucking Rachel are just screaming their head off.
Like having your face peeled off is one thing, then getting thrown out of the fucking truck. Shit.
Doesn't she, like, fucking push him out of the fucking truck?
Yeah. She opens the door. She's like, okay, boof. And she starts driving.
Knock out the fucking dead weight.
The worst mannequin hit in the series. Like, worse than Ben Tramer.
Or Donnie Tramer.
Donnie Tramer got it good. But Ben Tramer, like,
yeah,
the only fuck up that you see in Halloween 2, Ben Tramer is like, when the explosion happens, it's kind of just like, like riding the hood, and then it slams into the van, and it, the far away shot showing the established, you know, the establishing shot, you see the dummy just go dump. And then the next scene he's like upright.
He's like, I give up.
This one, Michael's how hard he hits the hood of this truck,
dude,
it's just like chicka. It's like a, seriously, like a blow up doll.
Shit, yeah.
Like it just.
And it's like, it's just ridiculous because they just do this weird setup of him just standing there, like, I'm going to take it like a man.
I know. And that's not like Michael.
A mannequin. He's just like, knock, knock, motherfucker.
Michael's sly. He's not indestructible. I mean, no.
Well, with how many fucking. With how many fucking, like, foreheads he just fucking thumbed, you think? He was like, let me test my fucking strength.
This is where they made him, like, superhuman. And it's like...
Well, he outran the gun earlier at the fucking...
Again, that could have been psychosis.
Okay, well, he did outrun the bullet. He could have moved away from the vehicle.
Right, just sidestep 3 feet to the left or right. Instead, you hit your head center hood. Like, whiplash, concussion, and you got thrown.
And you're through hurting. A fence...
Yeah, into a coal mine.
Into the coal mine.
Yeah. And Jamie walks up and grabs his hand, his burnt little crispy critter hands.
Jamie, get away from him!
Drop.
Why?
Clench the knife!
All right, what's the little weird handle that the fucking Meeker has on his fucking shotgun? Had like a fucking candy cane coming off the fucking back end of that.
The back end, that's so you can... That's actually a tactical assault shotgun.
That's right.
So you press a button... And that extends to a full-on handle.
And it actually goes like around the shoulder or something like that?
So bam, bam, bam. That's or cool. You hunch that bitch up in close
proximity. Yeah, because I think you wear it to hook around your shoulder so you can hang it low and then swing it. I don't know.
Hip fire. No, hip fire is the only way to do a shot.
I don't know. That was a weird... Weird...
I mean, why aim? It's spread shot.
Righteously.
Well, if you're shooting a slug.
He could have been firing slugs.
I don't know.
He could have been.
For more... Stopping power. I don't know. Fuck it. Who knows?
Right. I mean, you got like fucking
yeah.
The National Guard, the military, the Army, the Navy, the fucking Hicks, everybody shooting Michael right here. And with the go at these fucking shoulder pads, like he's just like,
he's auditioning for that Head and Shoulders commercial. I'm telling you.
Man. And then he falls into the mine and everybody's satisfied.
That's it.
Yep.
Let's go home.
Do we fish out of his body or something?
No, they literally, he falls down the mine and they leave.
They go, and it cut to mom and dad are taking care. I love that they let the actress who plays Rachel just look like shock, tired, hurt. Why the fuck am I not on a morphine drip in a hospital, mom?
Really?
Because I'm like, she's like sitting next to her dad on the couch. She just looks like fucked.
You can thank Joseph Smith.
Okay. My baby, I still got 30 more days until our health insurance kicks in. So we're just...
Mom's getting You made me leave an orgy, young lady.
Mom's getting the Tylenol. You're Relax.
Shit. Ellie Cornell really got fucked up on that roof scene in real life.
I remember. Yeah. You told me about that. That is horrible.
Well, when she slides down in the movie in... I don't think they used this clip. They might have. I don't know. But she caught a nail because that roof was actually built on the ground, replicated, built on the ground because it's a 3-story fucking house.
Yeah. You
ain't going to put people up there. So, you know, when she did the slide down from the top arch of the roof to the bottom, she caught a nail and it sliced her from hip to shoulder. Like, just opened her up.
Fuck that.
But, I mean.
Fire that asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
He had no green card.
It was Utah, okay? You can ask one of his wives. I think so. He has the green card somewhere.
You don't understand my wife. Never mind.
Bonnie, Lucia, my sister's aunt, uncles.
I couldn't name all of them. But yeah, she was, I guess, like a real trooper about it. She just, like, no stitches required. It was just like...
Bad scrape.
Ow, yeah. Like, well, I mean, ow. It was bleeding bad. They bandaged her. Her up, but I mean, you know, you're pretty thick on your rib cage and stomach. Fire. Even if you're skinny, you still have a lot of dermis and epidermis. And
yeah, but just to get sliced, she's a trooper.
Yeah, so I mean, they just bandaged her up and she finished the scene.
That's awesome.
Gave her tetanus shots. But yeah, like at the end of this, she's just like, oh,
dude,
beating the shit. Right.
Mom's going to draw Jamie a bath, and Jamie hasn't really said a word. After she touched. Yeah, after she touched her Michael Myers hand. And cut to the music cue. And
the mask slide down.
The clown mask slides over. And that fucking old school scissors, man. Those big ass fucking like fucking 12-inch fucking pair of fucking black and silver fucking scissors.
Scrapbook scissors.
I got a pair of those at home.
Those are some motherfuckers.
Yeah. Those were some fucking scissors you scared the fucking neighbors with.
No shit. But apparently, she goes to town on mom.
Mm-hmm.
Just dunks her in the tub and just cuts away. And the music cue and Loomis kind of looking up at the stairs, and you get that stare down from Jamie and that breath.
That breathing. No, you don't even see Jamie. He just like,
God,
like you see his expression.
I love that slow-mo of him picking out the gun, and Meeker just fucking slaps the gun out of his wrist, and he looks up too, and it's just.
No, another 18 years of psychiatry. No. Here we go.
Oh man, that was just that's why I think part 4 is like just the best from beginning to end as a standalone fucking Michael Myers film. It just rocks.
It had one of the best fucking endings of the entire series. Totally. Like, I love that ending.
Yeah.
I mean, love a lot of this
78 is great with him like he's still out there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, that's amazing. That breathing of her and then, you know, the transition of evil may have just occurred is just like, that gives you like fucking goosebumps. They're like, wow, that was a cool way to fucking end it, guys. And like, bravo. Golf clap. Oh, it shall be remembered.
So good. It was so good. Like, this ending shocked the fuck out of me and I just couldn't wait to see Halloween 5.
I couldn't wait to see Daniel Harris do more things too. Because she was just so good in it. She was fun. You know, a little weird on the acting stuff, but for all in all, she did a great job in this film.
Well, when she had to play the normal girly girl, you know, I'm 8 years old at school, that's when it was like, oh, fuck, this is rough. But when she plays scared awesome.
Amazing.
And her scream is great.
Her and Rachel scream are
not correct. That I like hearing 8-year-olds scream, but
fantastic. Acting in a film like this, you have to sell something.
Yeah.
And they sold it.
You really got to sell movies like these because if you don't make it somewhat believable, you're not going to feel for those characters. You're not going to have that attachment. And if you don't have that attachment, like, you don't have the fucking... You can't get the funds. You can't get the continuation. You can't get the adoration like Nate's having for her right here. Like, there's a reason why some people are either nailing it or they're overacting. And if you can nail it, you got it.
Or they're like most child actors that I just fucking hate child actors. I don't know.
I fucking hate
is.
The kid from Cujo.
Yeah. I mean,
he plays it so fucking real.
He played it real?
No.
Oh, I can't stand Cujo.
I can't stand that movie.
He's always like, I mean, you know, there comes a point in time where you lose your voice.
I was about ready to throw that kid out the fucking car.
That's the thing. I think
just
we'll
so I get some peace and quiet.
Really?
I think with a lot of those films, like that one and The Babadook, it's like, I don't know. It's like there's a realism that I think the directors had the kids kind of choose to play, and they go for it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of Babadook. I'd have to rewatch it because I didn't know the kid was like, I know he was supposed to be like this hyperactive shitheel kid, but I mean, he just played it so fucking annoying. And I guess that's good that I am because you're supposed to hate him.
Yeah, you're supposed he's supposed to be made to be hated.
Like the kids from It were terrific.
Yeah.
You know, but except, come on, those Stanley, kids... except Stanley. He wasn't that good.
Yeah, but like in realism, like kids aren't really like, I don't know. It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's a fine line between what you're choosing to accept or you're choosing. You're looking at the fucking director saying, all right, sell me your vision of what this is supposed to be. All right, I'm going to make this kid X because I need you to get to Y because that's what I'm putting the mother's character at. And as long as you're on board with how fucking horrible this is going on, you're going to, it kind of piques that emotion in you.
You know, a kid actor that I go to, especially in a horror movie, was Corey Feldman. He was fucking great in Friday 4.
But that was a, yeah, I got you.
Yeah. I mean, and like, you know, you get the troop of the Goonies. I enjoyed all those kids. For some reason, though, like when it's just the 80s kids actor and they always play that, da, 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 you know, it's fucking annoying. It's like, that's why I hate E.T. I can't stand the fucking kids in it.
Gotcha.
Man, I can't stand that the guns are now walkie-talkies.
I love that part.
I can't watch E.T.
Yeah, no. Were you scared of it?
Yes. Yes and no. First and foremost, the movie just irritated the fuck out of me. But also, back when I used to live in Saudi Arabia, my dad used to have a friend who had a replica, life-size replica of E.T. in his house.
Nice.
And me being 4 or 5, I can't remember how old, he would kind of like chase me with it.
Nice.
And thought it was the funniest fucking thing in the world. And I'm like, no! The entire time.
Little fucking Ralph running from E.T. Did its neck come up and down?
Fuck you!
I don't remember.
God, that'd be
great. I was too traumatized. I fucking
Saudi
hate that
Arabia?
Movie. Mm-hmm.
I find out something new about you every fucking time we talk, buddy.
Yep. Used to live in Saudi Arabia for a little bit.
Jesus Christ.
What do you think, guys? Final thoughts?
Let's roll into it.
I'll just go right through this real fast. What's the biggest takeaway for me is that it wasn't Cundy at the fucking helm. And it wasn't a lot of people at the helm. This is one where Carpenter and Deborah Hill kind of took a back seat to. But we did get introduced to the, I don't know. For me, I really appreciate a lot of the director's work for this film. It's Dwight H. Little. He would later go on to do Phantom of the Opera in 89 with Robert Englund. He would do Steven Seagal's Mark for Death. He would do Brandon Lee's Rapid Fire. He would do a very beloved video game of mine, which was Ground Zero Texas for Sega CD. I loved all this shit, and then he decided to make Free Willy 2. he would later do Wesley Snipes' Murder at 1600, and he would go on to do many, many, many TV series, even to this very day. In my opinion, Dwight H. Little did a great, great standalone film with this Halloween 4, and I like going back to it. It's a fun one that I enjoy. It has a lot of fucking cool things. And one of the main things I do like about it is also the special effects. And what's really cool about the special effects in this film, it was John Buechler. And you may have heard me in early episodes talk about John Buechler because he also went on to direct a lot of cool films. If you're a cult fucking fanatic, he did The Dungeon Master. He did Troll in 1986. He did Cellar Dweller in 88. And later in 88, he would also do Friday the 13th Part 7, The New Blood. And then 91, he would shatter our fucking lives with Ghoulies Go to College.
Oh, that was the second movie that made me a man.
That's an awesome segue. But yeah, this film was really filled with talent. I know a lot of guys did take the back seat, which is, you know, where the credibility for the Halloween series was. But coming from Season of the Witch and this, and going into the Jamie story or saga, and with her great actress who played Rachel, I mean, there was so many fun dynamics in the exposition and the story development that from beginning to end, I would love to see this in 35mm at an actual Alamo Drafthouse screening or something like that, because this is one of my favorite ones to just sit there and kind of watch from beginning to end. I thought it'd be a little bit rockier than I thought watching it again. But really, beyond the little 15 minutes of the school stuff, and I can be okay with that. But Alan Howarth with the score and everything, I think everything is a really standalone film. So it's a definite buy for me. If it's in the box set, it's going to be a nice cherry on top when you're going through the set. That's me.
For me, with this movie, with it being released in like 1988 with a budget of fucking $5 million, it stood up really well. It definitely, I agree. It is one of the better movies of the series in comparison to some of the later stuff that we get. With that being said, it did make a comeback of $17.7 million, so it made its money back and then some. So they always say horror movies are the easiest way to make a turnaround, and more. You can make it for cheap and then turn around and get a lot of fucking money. Like I've stated before in one of our previous episodes, look at Saw. Saw was made for fucking dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And now look at it. How many fucking installments are we at now? 11. And we're already at a spinoff for just Jigsaw instead of just Saw.
Yeah.
Like horror is an easy buck, you know. If you can get the budget, you can make the turnaround.
Well, I mean, look at Conjuring. What was Conjuring? $10 million. It made like $180 million or more than that.
Half a billion. In the terms of Jeff, it made a buku fuck ton. And I'm glad that they ended up going with this because if I remember correctly, this movie was originally penned. It was originally supposed to follow the entire idea of like
the anthology,
and it was supposed to be penned as a ghost story.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the upset from what happened with part three, they were like, "Fuck it, we'll bring Michael back." And I could see where some of those elements of a ghost story were placed in here because Michael does kind of like teleport.
How Mike gets his mask, the diner, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just kind of like teleports from place to place, and he haunts Jamie, mm-hmm. You know? Like, mm-hmm. She's terrified of him. She's seeing him everywhere. And at some point, it seems as though she's the only one seeing him.
What's weird about that, too, is she wouldn't know what he looks like even in the mask. They never had mm-hmm. a picture of him in the paper, you know?
Yeah. The only thing she knows him by is by that fucking mask, and you don't get to see the eyes, you don't get to see the face. Like, that's all you see is that mask.
Okay.
And he starts like haunting these other people. He starts going after these other people, and even with the entire scene with the school, how did he fucking get under the truck? He fucking ectoplasmed himself in there, I guess. No,
Elizabeth Dane's fog lifted him up and transported him under that.
Okay. Well, we got an explanation, connecting. People. But, like, this movie holds up really well. Like, I enjoyed it a lot in comparison to some of the later stuff that we're going to get into. For me, this is definitely a buy. Hands down, buy. Like, if fucking you buy the fucking box set, you already got one of the better of the series. Nathan?
Correctamundo. I have to agree with everything you both said. I love this movie as a child. I even like it as an adult. There's stupid fucking moments. I mean, wait till we get farther in the series before ye judge, sir.
Yes.
I have seen the entire series, and I can tell you without a doubt, this is one of the very, very top ones. I'd probably put it in the top three. You know, this was a welcome back with Michael Myers, and I'm glad Ralph touched on that. This was supposed to be a ghost story of Michael's ghost haunting the town. I'm glad they didn't go that route. It would have been interesting, like almost like Halloween 6 producer's cut and the cut we got for so many years. It's something that different take on something is always usually pretty neat to see. However, Mustafa Cod holding the banner, we're bringing fucking Michael back and we're never getting rid of him. So, yeah, cinematography in this is great. I cannot stand the way Michael looks. I will reiterate and re-say that. He just does not look right. He's too fucking big. He's got 80 shoulder pads. And the mask is completely 100% off. But other than that, Donald Pleasance is drunk, doing great acting. Everybody in this is cool. Sheriff Meeker's a bad motherfucker. His daughter is a fine motherfucker. And everything in between. It's fun. Danielle Harris doing a killer job. Ely Cornell, you know, in the first couple scenes with her, you're kind of like, oh, my God, direct to TV. But she turns it up, and she's actually a very likable and fun character. So, yeah, high recommend and a total fucking buy.
Awesome. Couldn't agree with you more on that one.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of violence and ups and downs that occur in this film. You think there's a fun, unique way you could take us to all that?
Fucking hit my music.
Cue it up.
Is this Aussie conditioner?
That is fine hide leather.
You've never felt softer pubes.
Let me hear you say it, baby.
You're good. Good, good, good. Whoa!
Like a fucking Pepsi commercial. So tonight on Let's Get It Straight with Nate, we've got Kathleen Kinmon. She'll make your pecker flutter with gorgeous ass shot, followed by a gigantic pair of swinging side boobs. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Holding the Iron Rod make a visit. Seeing things as clear as breasts in blue suede shoes. Cops' daughters definitely do it by the book. We got rooftop shenanigans. We got shoulder pads, a fashion statement or a way of life. A double barrel shotgun, is it the best choice for defense or a pleasure device? We got 16 kills in total, of only which 2 are from knives, 2 are from thumbs, 4 bullshit off-screen deaths. Ted Hollister wishes his friends would keep it in their holster. 1 more for the love of dog. Impalation by the Iron Rod. A fuck named Buck getting fried. 3 mutilations. 1 double penetration with a shotgun, Ralph. 1 ripping a throat out. 1 airborne redneck. And to add to this mayhem, we've got a case of terrible babysitting for CPS to review. A confused producer. A drunk Donald Pleasance. A drunk Catholic priest. 1 undersized coveralls. A gas station burning prices. Kills me. A lynch mob from the Silver Bullet makes an appearance. 1 fired makeup artist for putting a fried egg on Donald Pleasant's face. 1 fired costume designer. And a movie production photo cameo by Jamie Lee Curtis. I guess she always wears a pantsuit. Did I mention Kathleen Kinmon? Fuck me, did I mention her? For those approaching teenage years back in the day, what a struggle, man. Pause and slow-mo, pause and slow. Freeze! Pain in the fucking ass. If you would like to see her completely naked, I suggest checking out Bride of the Reanimator. I'm Nathan, and I'm good.
That's the best takeaway. Yeah, you're going to have to replay that a couple of times to really get the full gist, because there's a lot of fucking fun info in that.
A lot of it you won't get. Like, holding on to the iron rod. It's filmed in Utah. It's Mormon principles, people.
Don't explain it.
I really wish he killed more, like killed with a knife in the diner. That way I could say a gas station slashing prices.
Slashes prices.
But that Bernie prices.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
The little things in life, people. If you can't laugh at yourself, no one else will.
And enjoy the little things, because we are going to get to one big fucking thing called the Thorn Agenda.
Ooh.
Which is...
We got to compress a little bit.
Yeah, we're headed that way. We're going to be talking about part 5 and part 6.
Actually, 3 movies.
Part 5, part 6, and the producer's cut of 6.
Torture.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one.
So, with that.
Thanks for tuning in. You can always find us on Facebook at Deep in the Heart of Texas. Also, check us out on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio app.
Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't forget, we're also on Google Play.
Oh, yeah.
We're on Google Play
pretty
now.
Pretty much, I checked this the other day. I downloaded every single podcast app. We're on all of them. I don't know how, but we're on all of them.
Kudos.
So Podbean, like, shares that to or iTunes, whatever. Shares somebody it to share everywhere. Something. That's God awesome. Bless you, sirs.
Yep.
We'll tune in again. We'll follow this, come with us, and we'll follow along on this Halloween extravaganza.
We're going uphill from here.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to get a little...
Uphill or downhill?
Uphill. Uphill is always a struggle for my fat ass. Downhill, like, I pray for. It's like stuck into a ball.
Like watching Michael try to climb a fucking roof.
You get a 10% incline. That's what I look like. Oh, God.
Yep.
Good.
Oh, bad.
All right, so from all of us to all of you, keep it scary. This is Jeff.
Damn, VCR broke again, Nathan.
And this is fucking Ralph.
See y'all soon.
Thank you for listening to Deep in the Horror of Texas. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, please leave a review on the iTunes or Stitcher radio app. And above all, remember to keep it scary.